We are holding on Kuf Lamed Omer Aleph, beginning the 10th parak of Or Masechta. The subject of this parak is the mitzvah of Zroya L'chayayim V'keva. The Torah tells us in Parashas Shoftim that when a person shechts an animal, they have to give the Kohen the Zroya, which is the front right leg or part of it, L'chayayim, which is the cheeks and the tongue, that whole part, the jaw of the animal, and Keva, the fourth stomach of the animal, which we learned earlier in the Masechta. There's also a layer of fat on it, which even though that fat part of it, at least part of it, is Chalev, nevertheless, the Kohen can still use it for other purposes. I once saw in English, somebody pointed out those three parts can be made to rhyme. The paw, the jaw, and the maw. So very cute that way. In any case, we'll learn further on the Perek, the Remez, why dafka those parts, but that's what the Torah says. You have to give those to the Kohen. So nowadays you don't find very commonly that people do it. We're going to learn in the next parak, and we're going to talk about a little bit over here, that it may not apply in Chutz Laaretz. There are different opinions whether it applies in Chutz Laaretz. Everybody agrees it applies in Eretz Yisrael. Even in Eretz Yisrael, they're careless with it for a variety of reasons. There are people working to try to bring awareness of it back and to do it. The fact is, as we're going to learn in our parak, it's not unlike, for example, truma. If you don't give truma from your produce, then the produce is also to eat. So they have to be careful with that. Zroya l'chayayim v'keva is not like that. The animal is mutter to eat, even if you don't give those to the kohen. So maybe that's why, or maybe just because, again, there are poskim who hold, as we'll learn, that it doesn't apply in Chutz Laaretz. And therefore, you know, since historically, for the most of the last 2,000 years, most of the Jewish people lived in Chutz Laaretz, so they got out of the habit of doing it, and therefore even when they returned to Eretz Yisrael, not always everybody is careful. There have been, over the centuries, there have been G'dayli Yisrael who were particularly careful with it, even if in their areas they were not. It mentions, for example, the Chassam Sofer would give, and there are other examples of those who would give specifically to the Kohen. So our perek is mostly about that. Mitzvah, but more generally, we're going to be talking in the middle of the perek. We're going to be talking about the matnas kohuna in general. The Eibishter gave the kohenim 24 matonis, 24 gifts from various things that the Jewish people do, various korbanos and different other things. So altogether, there's 24 of them. We're going to discuss them in our perek as well. So the Mishnah starts off, this mitzvah of giving these three parts of the animal to a kohen, it applies in Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael. Now we're going to learn in the next parak that not everybody agrees to that. There is an opinion that says they don't apply in Chutz Laaretz. Now over here, Rashi explains that really the Mishnah is only saying it because the Mishnah is going to give the whole list, like we've had in previous parakim of our Masechta, where it's going to give a list to what it does and doesn't apply, and therefore it's going to mention Bifnei Abayis, Vishalei Bifnei Abayis, etc., and therefore it's going to mention also Ba'aretz of Chutz Laaretz. So according to Rashi, there's not much of a chiddush in the fact that it mentions over here that it applies in Chutz Laaretz. And it's true, because in general, you do have a rule that any mitzvah that's not agricultural applies both equally in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. Again, though, it is true that in the next parak, we are going to learn a different opinion that says they don't apply in Chutz Laaretz. And Rashi over there is going to explain that indeed, is going to give a different explanation over there, that indeed is why our Mishnah has to say that it does, to tell us that the Tana of our Mishnah does not hold like that. So Rashi seems to be contradicting himself. Rabbi Akiva Eger here in Gilui Nashas points out, refers to that Rashi, and then Mefoshim talk about why Rashi would explain differently in the different places. Okay. In any case, so it applies in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. Bifnei Abayis, Bishloi Bifnei Abayis. It applies whether the Beis Mikdash is standing or not. Again, there's not much of a chiddush in that, but that's more because it's giving the whole list over here. V'chulin, Avaloi V'mukdashin. Now, one thing is, it does apply only to chulin animals, not to kodshin animals. Unlike some of the mitzvahs that we learned earlier in our Masechta. We learned about Oseves Benoi. We said that applies both to Chulin and Mukdashin. We talked about Gid Anosha applies to both, etc. But Zroi L'Chayayim V'Keva, we're saying, applies only to Chulin, not Kodshin. Why do we need to be told that? Why would we think that it applies to Kodshin? Shehoya Badin. Because on the face of it, you would make a Kavachoymer. Now, consider, when you bring a korban, there are certain korbanos, there's a shlomim, and other, the various types of shlomim, so the regular shlomim itself, but also a toida, you have to take the chos of a shoik, you take the front, you take the chest of the animal, and the back right leg, and weave them together with the fats of the korban, and give them to the kohen. So now, you would think, Umay macholin shein chayov mechaz of a shoyik. So mad macholin which are not chayav in that mitzvah chaz of a shoyik. You don't give them to a kohen. Chayov matonis. Yet they're chayav in matonis. We're going to use throughout this perek. We're going to use the word matonis. We're going to use the word matonis more generically in our perek to mean the zuri lechayayim v'keva. So you would think then that macholin are not required to do chaz of a shoyik, and yet you'd have to give the zuri lechayayim v'keva. Kodshim shachayavim chaz of a shoyik. Well then, kodshim where you are required to give chaz of a shoyik, ain't a din shachayavim matonis. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that they're also chayav in matonis? So Tosfos explains, in other words, the point is, if it weren't for the Kavachomer, then it's true. You wouldn't otherwise, the Pasuk does say Stam, but you would have thought, Dovah Alon Minyano, the next thing the Torah talks about is Truma, which applies only to Cholin, not Chodshim. So if we didn't have the Kavachomer, then we wouldn't need a Pasuk to tell us that it applies only to Cholin. But because we have this Kavachomer, we're on the face of it, with Chodshim, you have Chos V'Shoik as well. So maybe you have cause of a shoik. So maybe you should also have zero lechayim v'keva. That is why we need a pasuk to tell us otherwise. So that's the kavachomer. Shachiyah b'din. You would have thought to make a kavachomer. Umay macholin she'en lechayavim b'chaz of a shoik. Mad macholin which is not obligated in chaz of a shoik, like shlomim. Chayavim matonis, and yet the chayav in matonis. Matonis again being the generic name for zero lechayim v'keva. Even though there are 24 matnas kohona throughout our parak, we're going to use the word matonis unspecified to refer to these three things. So, kodshim shchayavim lechaz of a shoyik, well then kodshim, which are obligated in chaz of a shoyik, any din shchayavim matonis, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that you have to give matonis as well? No, tamad lema, that is why. You have a pasuk that says, v'etin oisam la'arin akon levon of lechok olam. When it talks about the chaz of a shoyik, of a shlomim, it says, Hashem says, I have given them to Aaron and his sons as a covenant for as a rule forever. So we learn from that from the word osam, which is a miut, means ein loy ela masha omer b'inyan. So when it comes to a shlomim, the kohen gets only what it says over there, the chaz v'shoyik, and not any other parts. So not zuri l'chayayim v'keva. So in short, in other words, when the Mishnah says that it applies only to cholim, not kodshim, so when it comes to kodshim, when you bring a shlomim, then you give the chaz v'shoyik to the kohen. When it comes to cholim, instead you don't give chaz v'shoyik, but you do give zuri l'chayayim v'keva, and vice versa. When it comes to kodshim, you only give chaz v'shoyik and not anything else. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Suppose that you have a kodshim which developed a permanent mum before you were makdish them. So you have an animal that had a permanent mum, and then you were makdish it, and then you were makdish it as a korban. Now, obviously, you can't bring it as a korban because it has a mum. Now, this is because it had a mum beforehand. It never. We know throughout Shas we have the distinction. We've been many times in our seder and in other places. You have the difference between kedushas domim and kedushas aguf. Kedushas domim, where something only has the monetary value of it, has kedusha, but not the. It does not have intrinsic kedusha. So when you so most things that you donate to Hekdesh have only kedushas domim. If you donate anything to Hekdesh, you donate gold, you donate a sefer, you donate a pizza pie or whatever. They will have only kedushas domim. The Hekdesh will use the money of it for the upkeep of the Bais Mikdash, as opposed to a korban itself has kedushas aguf. It itself has intrinsic kedusha. Well, when the animal had a mum to begin with, a permanent mum to begin with, and you makdish it, then it doesn't. It only has kedushas domim. It doesn't have kedushas aguf. And then the difference is, if it has kedushas domim, then when you redeem it, when you buy it back from Hekdesh, it goes back to being complete korban. Because after all, it's only in the first place, it's just that the value of it had kedusha, and now that you bought back that value from Hekdesh, then it has no more residual kedusha. As opposed to when it has kedushas aguf, when it was meant to be a korban, and then it wasn't unavailable to be brought as a korban anymore, and you redeemed it, it still has a residual kedusha, and in particular, you know, among other things, you're not allowed to shear it, you're not allowed to do work with it. So therefore, so that's the Mishnah is going to draw that distinction. When you have a korban which had a permanent mum, and then you will makdish it. So now it only has kedushas adamim. So niflu. So for niflu, if afterwards they will redeem chayavin bebechora. First of all, they're going to be chayav in the dinim of bechora that we're going to learn in the next masechta. We don't say because at one time it was kodshim, therefore it shouldn't. Therefore, if it gives birth to a firstborn, it shouldn't have kedusha. No. When it wasn't redeemed yet, you actually point out that not. When it still belongs to hekdish, then in fact it's not chayav in bechora. We're going to learn about that in a couple of weeks in masechta bechoras. That there's actually a machloikas on that point. Our Tana holds that the fact that even Kedushas Domim is enough to push off Kedushas Bechora. But in any case, if it was redeemed, then there's no question it's Chayiv and Bechora. Uber Matonis, and it's also going to be Chayiv and Matonis when you sheft it afterwards again. Before you redeemed it, then it's going to be Potter from Matonis because it still belongs to Hekdish. The Yotzim L'chulim the Higozes of Ovid, and also by redeeming them, they become completely chulim, they have no residual kedusha. You are allowed to shear them, you are allowed to work with them, just like any other animal. Uvladin v'chalavan mutal achapidyonan, and another din, after you redeem them, any baby that they have and the milk that they produce will be mutal to consume, to use, to, as opposed to while it belongs to Hekdish, the not, it's still part of the Hekdish animal. And therefore, Me'ila would apply to it. And on the other hand, if it was a tomim, when you were makdish it, and afterwards it developed a mum, then it's different. Then it still has that residual kedusha. And therefore, as we're gonna go on to say. So all the dinim that our Mishnah is talking about are going to be different. You're not going to be allowed to shear it. You're not going to be allowed to work with it. The baby of it is going to have a din that it's also Rashi refers to. The Gemara in Bechoris is going to tell us that the case is it was actually pregnant while it was still hektish, and then it was born afterwards. So we'll see. We'll learn more about that in Bechoris, Rest Hashem. Anyway, Vashoftim Bechutz Potter, and another din that would apply. To this animal is that if a person shechts it outside the azara, then he will be potter because it never had kedusha shaguch. It was never suitable to be brought as a korban. As opposed to again, if a person was matched it when it was tumim, then as we're going to see soon, then actually he would be chayev for shechting it outside the azara. The in oisin tmura. Rashi mentions the point that if you were makdish it and then it developed a mum, you still can't bring it as a korban. But Rashi explains, again, based on a Gemara and Bechoris, that we're talking about it's only a minor mum, the kind where b'dievet, if you put it on the mizbeach, you would leave it on the mizbeach, and therefore it can be considered that it's something that's capable of being brought in the azara. So in fact, actually, Rashi points out this Mishnah, much of this Mishnah we're going to learn identically in Bechoris in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem. So here it's mentioning it because of the din of Zerui L'Chaya in the Keva. Later on, we're going to learn the same Mishnah in Bechoris in connection with the din of Bechora. And another din, the Ein Oisim Tmura, another din as far as this animal that you were makdish when it already had a mum, is that it can't create a tmura. We're going to learn next year in Masechta Tmura Bez Hashem, all about the concept of tmura, that if a person has an animal of hektish, an animal or a korban, and he exchanges it for another one, and the Torah tells us he's not allowed to do that, but if he does, v'hoyahu smirasi yekodesh, both the original one and the substitute are going to be kodesh, well then, now we're saying that applies only to animals that have kedushas haguf, not kedushas domim. Therefore can't create a tmura. If you were to say, I'm exchanging this other animal for it, the other animal wouldn't get any kedusha. Another din, the imesu, if the animal dies without having been redeemed, yipodu, you could still redeem it. Now, at this point, it died, you can't eat it, all you can do is give it to dogs or whatever. Nevertheless, there is a rule, Rashi points out, we have a general rule, which comes up in many places in Shas, you're not allowed to redeem kodshim, where the only thing you can do is give them to dogs. You're going to redeem kodshim, has to be where you're capable of eating them yourself. When here you can't, because Nevela. Nevertheless, though, that applies only when it at one time had Dushas Aguf. Here it never did. It only had Dushas Domim in the first place, and therefore you can redeem them. Another point Rashi says is that it means you also, now you have a concept mentioned in Parshas Bechukosai called Behemid Veherid, that when a person donates an animal to Hekdish, he has to, if he wants to redeem it, he has to stand it up in front of the Kohen, and the Kohen will evaluate the value of it it, and then you'll pay that amount. So we see the animal has to be alive. Here, that doesn't apply, because again, Rashi points out, Tana of our Mishnah holds that because it's Kodshe Bedek Abayis, because it, to begin with, was only for the upkeep of the Mishnah, and was never Kodshe Mizbeach, it was never meant to be brought as a korban, because again, to begin with, when you were Makdash, it already had a mum, then therefore you would be able to redeem it without it standing up, even when it's dead, and you would be able to, even though the only thing you can do with the meat now is give it to dogs. The exception to those rules are b'chor and meiser. A b'chor is intrinsically kaddish when it's born, and so it's not a matter of unlike the other ones where we can talk about that, kedushas domim only with a b'chor, it actually has kedushas aguf, it actually has intrinsic kedusha from when it's born, and therefore these various dinim of the Mishnah would not apply to a b'chor, even though they were born with a mum, nevertheless they still have kedushas aguf, and therefore they're going to have all the dinim of animals with kedushas aguf that we're going to start discussing soon in the Mishnah. And the same thing with Meiser also, the Torah tells us you can't distinguish between Tov and Ra, between good and bad. Either way, once it's marked as Meiser, then it's because it has the dinim of Meiser. Of course, if it has a mum, you can't offer it on the Mizbeach, but it still has the Kedushas HaGuf. Now, on the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Kol Shekodem HaKadeshin as Mumon. Now, on the other hand, though, if the heck...
In a way, it's like a Kohen. A Kohen who has a mum is still a Kohen?
Yes, I guess in a certain sense you could compare it to that. Yes, about the same token, this animal has a mum, but nevertheless it's still a b'chor. Yeah, so that's a good comparison. And then the same thing, Meiser, yeah. On the other hand, Kol Shekodem HaKadeshin as Mumon, on the other hand, if you were makdish the animal first, and then it developed a mum, so now you were makdish it when it was a tumim, now it got kedushas aguf. There was a time when it would have been able to be brought as a korban. So now it has a whole different dinim. So you makdish it before mum, a mum over kodem lakdashan, or even it could be that it had a mum, but it was only a temporary mum. We'll learn in Masechta Bechoros, in the next Masechta, that's the Shem, we'll talk about in detail about the various kinds of permanent versus temporary mumim. So here, it had a temporary mum, so you can't bring it as a korban, but it was expected that this mum is going to heal, and therefore, even now, so therefore it's able to have Kedushas Aguf, later on it developed a permanent mum. So now it can't be brought as a korban anymore. The niftu, now it was redeemed. So it was redeemed. You did buy it back because you can't use it as a korban anymore. Nevertheless, it still has that residual kedusha. It will be potter if it was a female animal and it gave birth to a b'chor, then that animal will be potter from b'chor, even though it was already redeemed and now you're allowed to eat it, now it's chulin, nevertheless it's still, Rashi points out that then the posik compared, you have a posik about psulei hamukdashim, you have a posik about kodshim that became posel and can no longer be offered on the Mizbeach, and there's a posik that compares them to tzviva ha'ayel, like a deer or a gazelle. So Rashi points out the drasha then is that a deer or a gazelle are not chayev and b'chora, because b'chora applies only to domestic animals, so therefore we learn from that the same way this animal is also potter from b'chora. Umina matones, it'll also be potter from lamatones of our perek, as we discussed, you also have a drosha in Masechta Bechoros, how we know they're potter from matones. The Einan Yotzim L'Cholin L'Hagozes L'Ovid, they don't become complete Cholin as far as being able to be sheared or worked with. They still have that residual Kedusha where you can't shear them or you can't work with them anymore. The Pasuk says, Tizbach V'Ochalta, you can shech them and you can eat them, which implies that's all you can do is, but you can't do anything else with them. Even after you redeem them, their baby or their milk is going to be also even after you redeem them. Because again, it means that, again, as Rashi is talking about, we're talking about over here that the Gemara in Bechoros explains that we're talking about that it actually became pregnant when it was still Kaddish and then gave birth afterwards. And as far as the milk, same thing is that we're talking about milk that was given afterwards. So in other words, the point is, if it first became pregnant after the pidyon, then the Gemara explains in Bechoros that it would be perfectly mutter, because after all, if the animal is completely mutter, then the baby that comes from it can't really be also. So you have that distinction. Vashirchten b'chutz chayev. If a person shechts this animal outside the azara, he will be chayev, because again we're talking about where it has only a minor mum. And Rabbi Akiva holds, as we learned from Zvachin, that when a minor mum like that, what's called dukin shva'ayin, for example, just a cataract or something like that, Rabbi Akiva holds, even though of course it's kosher, even though it's also to bring it as a korban, the dievet, if a person did bring it as a korban and it was placed on the mizbeach, it's one of those olu lo yerdu cases where even if it was placed on the mizbeach and the dievet, you leave it there, therefore it's considered to be enough of a connection to have to being a korban that therefore if a person shechts it outside the azara, he will be chayev kares or chatas b'shegig. The oisin tmura, this animal will produce a tmura, because again it has kedusha saguf, so now if he exchanges it for another animal, then both of them will have kedusha. The imesu, and if the animal dies without pigeon, you kogru, then you have to bury them, you can no longer repoy to them, for two reasons. First of all, again, because you can't stand it up in front of the kohen anymore, and because you can't redeem kodshim, where you're going to only be able to feed them to dogs. Both considerations apply over here, and therefore you would not be able to be poyed. The Gemara in Bechoris, where again you have this Mishnah almost verbatim in Bechoris, the Gemara explains over there is because the main thing is hamod v'haracha. And the Gemara points out over there because what happens if the animal becomes a trefa? If it's a matter of you can't feed it to dogs, then also then you couldn't be poyed because of treifa. Again, all you can do is feed it to the dogs, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. It says only if it died, implying the main problem is hamod v'haracha. Okay. Thus far the Mishnah. So the Gemara starts off. Now let's see. We said in the Mishnah that we would have thought by a Kavachomer that Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva should apply to Kodshim, and we're saying the Kavachomer tells us that it applies only to Chulin animal, the Pasuk Oysam tells us that it applies only to that when it comes to Kodshim, all you have is Chaz V'Shoik and not Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva. Well, the Gemara says, time and Tekasa Rachmana, Oysam. So we see, only because the Pasuk says the word Oysam, and then that teaches us that by a Shlomim you have only Chaz V'Shoik. Holav Halchi, implying if it weren't for that, Havam in a Kodshim Chayav Matonis, you would have thought a Kavachoymer that Kodshim should indeed be Chayav in Matonis, in Zerul Chayayim Bekeva. The problem is, why would we think to make such a Kavachoymer?
Guys.
So the Gemara says, hold on, Bobby. So if it weren't for that, have I been a kodshim chayav in matonis? You would think that kavachomer that you would think that kodshim are indeed chayav in matonis based on this kavachomer. The problem is, itol mifrach, we can easily shlug up that kavachomer. Malacholin jekain chayav in b'bechora. After all, cholin are chayav in b'chora. So again, if a female cholin animal gives birth to a b'chora, then it has kedusha. If a kodshim animal gives birth, then we said it's potter from b'chora. So, and after all, Rashi points out, as it clearly says, all b'chor, kol b'chor, Rashi Yivolid, v'v'kor cha, or v'tzoyn cha, azachar. Anything that's born in your cattle or your flocks is chayev in b'chor, obviously meaning not kodshim. So you could easily shlug up the kavachomer that way. So the Gemara says, Taisim is chorim. Fine, you're right, you can't learn from female animals, but you can learn from male animals of chulin. There you don't have, they don't have babies, so they don't have babies, so therefore you can't shlug up the kavachomer with that. Okay, the Gemara says, Malas chorim shekin chayovin bereshis abyeiz. Okay, but consider, the males of chulin are chayev in reshis abyeiz. The next parak, we're going to talk about another one of the matnas kohona, which is you have to give a certain amount of the shearings of your sheep to the kohen. Reshis literally means the first. But Rashi explains, it means throughout the year, anytime you're shearing your sheep, you have to give the kohen a little bit of the wool. Rashi points out, it's called reshis in the sense that's the same way as truma is called reshis hageiz. Mefoshim explained Rashi had to say that because otherwise we would have thought it means maybe only the first time in the sheep's lifetime, and that's not how it is. Every time you shear the sheep. In any case, the point is that the chulin animals are chayiv and reshis hageiz, kodshim or not. So you see, therefore, so even when it comes to the males, you have a chumra and chulin over kodshim. So the Gemara says, fine, mitiyotin, fine. Instead of learning from sheep, you could learn from goats. By male goats. Male goats, you don't have giving birth to a bechor. You don't have reishis hageiz, because reishis hageiz applies only to sheep. So there you go. You could shlug up the kavachomer that way. You could say, you see that a male goat of chulin has a chumra compared to kodshim. Okay, the Gemara says, Malvitz Yoshim, Shepen Nechnasim, Ladir Leis Haser. Fine, but on the other hand, you have, when it comes to male goats, you have to bring them into the pen in order to give Maisa from them. We'll learn in a couple of months, at the end of Bechoris Ves Hashem, we're going to talk about all the dinim and Maisa Behema. The basic way you do Maisa Behema is you put all the animals in a pen, and you have them come out one by one, and then every tenth one you count and mark as Maisa. So the newborn goats, both males and females, goats and sheep and cattle, you all have to give Maisa, you also have to give Maisa Behema from. As opposed to, again, you don't give Maisa Kodshim from Maisa Behema from Kodshim. Rashi points out, because the Pasuk says, Yiyah Kodesh, it will be Kodesh, implying that something that only now is going to become Kodesh, not something that previously was already Kodesh. So again, you could say then that, you see that there is a chumra in chulin over kodshim. So you can say that's why they have zuri l'chayayim v'keva. Again, the question is, why is the Mishnah taking the kavachomer to say it would have been a very good kavachomer? I mean, you need a pasuk to shrug it up. When in fact you don't, and the fact is that it is about that you can shrug up the kavachomer this way. So the Gemara says, okay, miskaning. You could answer based on old ones. So you have only ones that are born this year, a chayiv and maisa behema, not ones from next year. Okay, the Gemara says, maluskaning shekin nichnasu ladir leisaser. Okay, but the fact is, the old ones were previously chayiv and maisa behema. Whenever they were born, that first year they were born, they're chayiv in maisa behema. So then, in that case, you could say that. So again, there is a chumra in them. There is a chumra in them as compared to kodshim. Why is the Mishnah assuming that it's a strong good kavachomer, and we would have otherwise thought that you should give zroi l'chayayim v'keva from kodshim? So the Gemara says, fine, you can consider milakuach umiyosin. Fine, but you can consider, on the other hand, you can learn from an animal that was bought. Now, an animal that was bought is not chayiv in maisa behema, as we're going to learn in Bechoras Ves Hashem. And also a yosim, an animal whose mother died in childbirth, is also potter from maisa, as again we will learn in Bechoras. And the last parak of Bechoras, We're going to learn about that concept. We did learn about it briefly in our Masechta earlier in the second parak of our Masechta. They have a couple of different ways of learning exactly how we know that a yosim is potter from Meiser. Okay, so in any case, you could learn from them, and you could say, look, they're potter from Meiser, and yet you see that they're chayev in Zuri L'chayayim V'keva when you shech them, so therefore you do in fact have a good kavachomer, and therefore the Mishnah has to find a posuk to go against it. But the Gemara says, Malo l'koach v'yosim, shekin nechnasim b'minom l'dir l'yisaser. Okay, but even an animal, for that matter, Tosfos says there are many others. A kilayim animal is potter from Meiser. A trefa animal is potter from Meiser. So you have a bunch of cases of animals that do not have to be put into the pen and counted towards the animals from Meiser. So you have many examples. Okay, but the Gemara says, Malo l'koach v'yosim, shekin nechnasim b'minom l'dir l'yisaser. Okay, the animal itself is not brought into the pen, and you don't take maisa from it, but the fact is that you have something of that species goes into the pen to be maisa. So therefore you could still say, within its species, you still have where it's chayev in zuri l'chayayim v'keva. But the Gemara says the minon kamrit. Okay, but you're talking about within its species. Kodshim namim minon nichnasim l'dir leisaser. New kodshim are also part of the same species, which get meisered. So therefore, so if you're going to learn like that, then you really don't have any difference between a bought animal or yosim or all these other cases that Tosfos mentioned, which are potter from meiser, and nevertheless they're still chayev in zroi l'chayayim. You still have to give zroi l'chayayim v'keva from them. So you would have thought the same thing with kodshim. You would have had a good kavachomer, and therefore the pasuk in fact needs to tell us not so, and you do in fact need to, and you don't in fact need to give zroi l'chayayim v'keva from kodshim, only chazav ashrit. Okay. So that explains that. Okay, so now let's talk about, on the other hand, the Yiyu Chulin Chayav. So now, so far we've said, we would have had a Kavachomer to say that by Kodshim, you have to give Zuri L'Chayayim V'Keva, but the word Oysam in the Pasuk that mentions by Chazav Ashrei tells us that no, by Kodshim you only give Chazav Ashrei. Okay. Well, the Gemara says, "V'yu cholin chayavim b'chazav shayk mikal b'chaymer." Well, as a matter of fact, maybe we should argue that cholin should, in fact, be required to give chazav shayk as well. Maybe by cholin you have to give five things: zoy l'chayayim v'keva, as well as chazav shayk, and make a kal b'chaymer the other way around. Uma kodshim shen chayavim matonis. Madach kodshim, which are not chayev in matonis, as we just established, chayev in v'chozav v'shoik, and yet they're chayev in chozav v'shoik, cholin shechayev in matonis, so then cholin, which are obligated to have matonis given from them, ein adin shechayev in v'chozav v'shoik, shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer that chozav v'shoik should apply to them? So why doesn't it? And the answer is, because the pasuk says about zeroy l'chayayim v'keva, the zeyi and mishpat ha-kohenim, it says this shall be the law of the kohenim, which implies the word zeh is a miut, ze'en mi de'achrin aloy, only this and not anything else. So it's only this you have to give from a holden animal, nothing else. Okay. The Gemara says, Ela time of the cause of Rachmana zeh. Fine. So you're telling me only because the pasuk says zeh. Holav hachi havam and a chulin chayovin b'chazav ashoik. So you're going to tell me that otherwise you would have thought that chulin are obligated in chazav ashoik. The question is, v'haboy tznufa. The question is, how would they be chayev in chazav ashoik? In order to do zroy l'chayayim v'keva, you have to wave them together with the korban. When you're talking about a cholin animal, you're not waving it over there. Heichel and ufinu. Where, after all, are you supposed to be waving them? Iabroi. Are you talking about waving them outside the azara? No. Lifnei Hashem. The pasuk says that you wave them in front of Hashem, implying in the azara. Iagavoi. And if you were going to do it inside the azara, you can't. Koma ayo cholim azara. You're going to be bringing cholin into the azara, which you're not using for a korban. Now, Tosfos discusses over here and in a few places in Shas, are we talking about that in general, you're not allowed to bring any chulin into the Azara, or is it only you're talking about when you have something which is relevant to Avoida? So you could say, in other words, over here, you could say when you have things where a certain kind of Avoida is supposed to be done with it, but in this, it's supposed to be done with this type of thing, and here you're not doing it, then that would be called chulin la'azara. Maybe, in other words, So according to Tosfos, if you just brought regular food or meat or whatever of chulin into the azara, regular animal of chulin into the azara would not be also at least not daraisa unless you shecht it or you do some other avoida with it. On the other hand, the Ram disagrees with that, and the Rambam also and a number of Rishonim disagree with that and say no, across the board you cannot bring chulin into the azara even if it's just fruit or bread or anything like that. So Hilkach lo yafshir. So therefore, it's impossible. There's no way you'd be able to bring in the chazav. There's no reason. No way you'd be able to bring in the zroy l'chayayim v'keva of an animal in order to do tznufa in the azara. And on the other hand, you can't do tznufa anywhere else because it has to be lifnei Hashem. Hilkach lo yafshir. So therefore, it's impossible to do it in the azara, and it's impossible to do it at all. And therefore, it's obviously potter. Well, then the Gemara says elazel amali. Well, in that case, then we have a good logical reason why not to do that. So then in that case, then why do we need the word zeh? And the answer is v'chidur of chista, because instead it teaches us what Rav Chista says, the Amr of chista, mazik matnas kahuna, osha ochon, if a person damages the matnas kahuna, these zuri l'chayayim v'keva, or any of the matnas kahuna, let's say, for example, he burnt them, Rashi says he threw them into a fire, or into the sea, or whatever, potter m'lashal, osha ochon, or if he ate them, potter m'lashal, and then he's potter from paying, that we learn from the word v'zeh. As the Gemara is now going to work out the details of how we know that point. Okay. So to continue. So that's the point that we learn from. That's the point that we learn from the word vizeh. Is the point that if a person damages the matnas kahuna, then he's potter from paying the kohenim for it. As the Gemara is now going to work out. So the Gemara says gufa. So now let's analyze that point. Omer of chista hamazik matnas kahuna ishachon. If a person damages or eats the matnas kahuna, potter milashalem, then Rav Chista says he's potter from paying. My timer. Now why is that? There's two reasons. Iboisema dechtiv zeh. So one reason would be precisely because of this word that it says in the pasuk zeh. Implying, in other words, only when they're intact, only when zeh, when you can point, zeh always means mara besvoi, but in zeh, you could point to them, and you could point to them, and then say, this is it. So then, when they're intact, and they're visible, then a person is chayiv to give them to the kohen. But once they're, if they were destroyed or eaten, then not. Doing a fast, Rabbi Akiva Eger over here refers to a Tosfos in the next parak in connection with Reishis Hagez, where we have something that seems to be implied in a Mishnah over there that says that that if a person stole the Matnas Kohanim, he doesn't have to pay for them, and so in fact Tosfos explains that Gemara differently, and therefore there is a chiddush in what Rav Chisda is saying over here. So that's one reason. The other reason is because there's really no claimant for it. There's no specific person that could say these matnas kohuna should have gone to me. After all, you can give matnas kohuna to any kohen. So that would be another reason why you don't have to pay it. What's the nafkamina between them? So first of all, obviously it means according to that second explanation, you have the word vizeh available, and you have a different drasha that the Gemara is going to learn from it. But Tosfos points out a nafkamina would be what happens. So it's true there's nobody to claim it, but nevertheless the fact is somebody stole something from the kohenim in effect. Should he have to pay? It's called Lotzis Yidei Shemayim in order to be Yotze Hashem's judgment. So if you say it's a matter of that Momen Shein Lo Tovim, look, as a practical matter, there's nobody could take you to Beis Din and say you have to give it to me. But nevertheless, a person would have to still be Yotze Hashem's judgment, and therefore you should have to pay his local Koyan and give it to him. On the other hand, if you learn it from the word Vizeh, then it's Xeris HaKotzev, that he's Potter, even Bidei Shemayim, and he wouldn't even have to pay in order to be Yotze for that. Now you do have the point when the matnas kohana are be'ain, even if you don't damage them or whatever, a person can't say to any koyan, I want to give it to another koyan. The fact is you have a mitzvah saseh and you have to give it to whichever koyan is available. But here where it's damaged or whatever, then we have that hector from it. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, though. I have a contradiction on Rav Chisda. We learn in a Braisa when it says, V'zegi mishpat ha-koyanim, again, this passage that says, this will be the law of the koyanim, melamed shah matonis din. From here we learn that the matonis, the zroi l'chayayim v'keva, are a din in the sense that, in other words, based in can force a person to give it to the koyanim. So you see, in other words, the first koyan who comes by can actually sue you in based in and get it. So what do you mean, mom and shame l'tovin? When you say the matonis are a din, relevant to what halacha would that be? Lav lo hitzian b'dayonin. Wouldn't it mean that dayonin have the ability to force a person to give it? So that would mean that it is mamon sheyesh le'tov. It means that you do, that there is somebody who comes to claim it. So the Gemara says, lo, l'chokim b'dayonim. No, what it means is just that as far as giving it, that the basin will tell the Yisrael that you should give it to this Koyan, who's a chover, that you should, l'chokim, to distinguish, meaning in other words, when it comes to giving the matnas kohuna, you might just say, I'll give it to whatever Koyan comes by first. No, basin will tell you, give it to this Koyan and not to that Koyan. Give it to a Koyan who's a Tamad Chacham, not a chover, who's careful with the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, and not a Koyan who's an Amah Oretz. The chiddush of Shmuel ben Achmeni, namely, this is like what Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni says. The Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yenison, minayin shein nosin matonah l'koyin amaretz. How do we know that you don't give the matnas kohuna to a koyin who is an amaretz? Now, you could say, when it comes to truma, let's say, you have to be, of course, you can't give it to an amaretz because he might make it tomei. But here you're talking about the zroi l'chayayim v'keva. Have no kedusha in them, after all. There's no reason on the face of it. You can't give it to a koyin who is an amaretz. Nevertheless, you're still not supposed to. Tosfos says, though, that does only mean if there's a koyin who's a chover around. If there's no koyin who's a chover around, only an amaretz, then Tosfos says, just give it to him right away and don't wait for a chover. Don't wait for a chover to show up. But preferentially, you should give it preferentially. If you have a choice, you should indeed give it to a koyan who's a chover, who's a talmid chacham. So in fact, Tosfos points out that there's a Mishnah in Chala that says that you can give the various matnas kohuna that you can give to any koyan, and Rabbi Yehuda says that vikurim you can't give just to any koyan. So now he's saying now Rabbi Yonason is saying none of them. So again, Tosfos says that he's saying that where there is a chover versus where there isn't. The Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshin, in his Pirush on Masech Chala, actually gives a whole different explanation. He says the Mishnah, Ibn Chala, is talking about you have a Koyan who's generally careful about Tumah V'Tahara, so therefore he is a Chover, but he's not careful to eat his Chulin V'Tahara. So now, the Tanakhama says you can give the Matonis to such a Koyan, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, fine, you can give him most Matonis, you can't give him Bikurim, and Rabbi Yonason is talking about where the person is completely in Amah Oretz and not careful with Tumah V'Tahara at all. Fine. So how do we know? So Shmuel Nachmani says, in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, Minayin Shendos Matana Lakoyin Amoritz. How do we know you shouldn't give Matanos to a Koyin as an Amoritz? Shenema, the Pasuk says, about Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was restoring and reestablishing Torah in the kingdom of Yehuda. His father, Ochaz, had been a terrible, notorious Rasha and brought in Avodah Zarah and stopped people from learning Torah and interrupted the Avodah and the Beis Mikdash and did all kinds of other bad things. So now Chizkiyahu is getting things back, is getting things back on track. And the Pasuk describes how, among other things, he's encouraging the people and making sure that the people give truma and meister. And the pasuk says, Chizkiyahu says to the people, to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, losses minos la koyim lalavim, to give the portions to the koyim and lalavim. Hakoyim v'halavim is actually how it says in the pasuk. Laman yechazgu Mesodas Hashem, so that they should be strong and encouraged in the Torah of Hashem. Therefore, says Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni, we learn from that, Kol Amasik, the Torah of Hashem, anybody who upholds the Torah of Hashem, Yeshloim Menos, then he deserves that portion of the Koyanim. V'she'em Masik, Torah Hashem, Enloim Menos, if not, then not. So therefore, he's not Yishlam Ha'aretz, he's not upholding the Torah, and therefore he's not supposed to get it. In other words, the context is exactly that. Chizkiyahu is saying we need to give the Kohenim and Levim their portions so that they can be learning Torah full time and teaching Torah full time and not have to work for a living, because that's the job of the Kohenim and Levim, is to teach the Jewish people Torah and to serve in the Beis Mikdash. So now Chizkiyahu is reestablishing that, and now the point is that we see clearly from that passage that it's only those who are actually upholding and supporting the Torah of Hashem. Again, as Tosfos says, maybe though, if there's no Kohen father around, then fine, you give it to a Kohen Amoritz. Okay. So that's what it means when it says in the Lamed Shem Matanos Din, it doesn't mean that Beis Din will force the person, if that if a Kohen sues a Yisrael and Beis Din and says, give me the Matnas Kohona, then Beis Din will force him to give it to him. Maybe the Yid can say, I'll give it to a different Kohen, but he shouldn't give it to the first Kohen available, but not necessarily does that mean that the Kohen has a right to sue him. But what we can say is that, and Beis Din will tell him, if you have a choice between a Kohen Chover and a Kohen Amoretz, give it to the Kohen Chover. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiraim, Mishpat. Again, the Pasuk says, Deyem Mishpat HaKohenim. So let's focus on that word Mishpat. Malama Cha Matanis Din. That teaches us that the Matanis are a din that can be adjudicated in Beis Din. Yochol afil the chos of a shoyt din. Now you would think the chos of a shoyt that are given to a koyan out of a korban are also considered a din. Tamal lema zeh. That is why the pasuk says zeh, implying that only the zuri l'chayim b'keva. Now again, lemai. Now what does that mean? Lema l'chokli b'dayonim. You're talking about that Beis Din will tell him, the dayonim will tell him, give it to the chover, not to the hamaretz. What do you mean? Otu chos of a shoyt la b'dayonim mechloku. Wouldn't it be the same thing? As far as Chos of a Shoyk, all the Matnas Kohona were saying you're supposed to give to a Chover. So the same exact thing would be about Chos of a Shoyk. If you're bringing a Shlomim or a Toida, then also Beis Din will tell you give the Chos of a Shoyk to a Chover. El Olav Lahoitzi B'dayonin. Evidently, the second Braisa must mean that they can be collected by the Dayanim, that if a Kohen sues a Yisrael and Beis Din, he can force the Yisrael to give him the Zorah L'Chayayim V'Keva. So what do you mean? The chos of a shoyk are not a din. Meaning, in other words, that a person is bringing a korban. He's doing it in order to be good in Hashem's eyes. He wants that he would throw a kapara. It's in order for him to be for a kapara and to be accepted in Hashem's eyes. So it's not very likely that he's going to hold back and try to keep the chos of a shoyk for himself. So therefore, that's why it can say, ain't a din, in the sense Beis Din doesn't really need to force it out of him, as opposed to Zorah L'Chayayim V'Keva, where it does. But doesn't that mean that they do in fact force him, and if a Kohen sues him in Beis Din, then he can collect? So the answer is, Hachem Ma'eskin and also the Yodin, because what we're talking about is where the Zorah L'Chayayim V'Keva already came into the Kohen's hands, the Kohen already received it, and now somebody else went and stole it from him. So now it's considered the Kohen's moment. Now he can actually sue the guy in Beis Din to recover it. So like Marzen says, well then what's the Chiddush? Ido also l'yidei, ma'ayla memra. Well then what's the Chiddush? Of course, if it's his already, then of course he can collect it back in Beis Din if somebody else takes it from him. For that matter, then Rambam says the question could also be, well, the same thing with Chos v'Shoyk as well. If a person brings a korban and gives a Chos v'Shoyk to one Kohen, and then somebody else grabs it from that Kohen, there's no question also the Kohen can take the guy to Beis Din and recover it. And the answer is there also l'yodei b'tivlaihu, because the case would be that it came to the Kohen still as tevel. Now, we're using tevel in a sense, and in a sense, the same way as by truma. You have, you take out a certain percentage of the cloth, and that becomes truma, and the same thing meiser, and until that's done, it's called tevel. Here, the Gemara is using tevel in that similar sense, in other words, before you actually took out the matnas kahuna. Now, we're going to learn later in our perek that it's not actually considered tevel, and again, the animal is not, the meat is not actually also to eat before you give zroil chayayim v'keva, for reasons that we'll learn later on in the perek. But nevertheless, we're using the word tevel in a looser sense to mean where the zroil chayayim v'keva have not been taken out yet. So let's say, for example, that a yid shechted an animal and gave it as a pikkudin and then put it as a pikkudin, asked the koyin to keep it for him for safekeeping. So now the koyin has the matnas corner there, but they haven't actually been taken out yet. Nevertheless, the kasava haitana, the tana, this braisa holds, matonis shleihumu, kamisha humu damian, even though the matonis were not taken out yet, we still consider as though they were taken out, meaning, in other words, we can already consider they're noticeable, they're specific parts of the animal, and therefore we can say that now the koyan was in effect zoicha in them. When the yid comes to pick up his shechted animal, the koyan can tell him, sorry, I'm keeping the zoi l'chayayim v'keva, because after all those belong to me. And now we're saying, if the yid says, no, I want them back, then the koyan can say, but they're already in my reshus, and therefore I have the right to sue you in Beis Din to actually get them. So as opposed to, it actually says Chos V'Shoyv is only for the Beis Av, only for the Beis Av, the particular division of the Mishmar that's serving in the Beis Mikdash that day, and therefore, so if it comes to just any other Koyin, then he's not necessarily Zoychein, as opposed to, again, Zoychein L'Chayayim V'Keva, which pertains equally to any Koyin, again, as long as he's a Chover. Okay, so therefore, so that braisa also doesn't mean, though, that if a person has not yet separated out his zroil chayayim v'keva, that Beis Din will force him to give it to the first kohen who sues him in Beis Din. Not so. Like Rav Chista says, it's momen she'en le'tovim. It's considered money, it's considered property or money that doesn't yet have anybody claiming it. Okay, the Gemara says toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. We learn in a mission in Masechta Peah, Bala Bayis Shoya Ovim Mokim L'Mokim. If a balabayas, so you have a regular person, or a person who has a parnosa and has assets, but if he's traveling from one place to place and he runs out of money, but sorach luto leket shikto peyo maisa oni, so now he has to take leket or shikto or peyo or maisa oni because he needs, which are all matnas aniim, but he's out of food. So now he has to take those. Fine. No, so he can take them, because at the time he's considered poor. Well, Yishalim, but when he gets home, he is going to have to pay. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. In other words, usually, you know, if he really was poor at the time, and like later on he won the lottery or something, then we're not going to say he has to pay that. But here we're talking about that and on the other hand, if he's rich, he has no business taking them in the first place. Here, the Chassam Sofer explains he's kind of in an in-between state. On the one hand, he's poor because he ran out of food. On the other hand, he's not completely poor because the fact is he does have assets at home. So therefore, so we say he can take matnas aniyim, but he does need to pay back afterwards the aniyim. Now, so what does that mean? So Rabbi Eliezer says he has to pay back. Now, on the face of it, that means that the Gemara is assuming, and the Gemara is going to explain soon what makes us think that, it sounds like the Aniyim can actually take him to Beis Din and force him to pay it. So that means, in other words, now Matnas Aniyim are like Matnas Gohona in that sense, where there's no specific Ani who's entitled to it more than any other. And nevertheless, it sounds like we're saying that they can sue him in Beis Din. So then, so what do you mean? Rav Chista is saying, "Momen she'en le'tovim." It comes out then that there doesn't seem to be a matter of "Momen she'en le'tovim." Again, if you say that you learn it from the word "zeh," then of course, there's no question on. Then of course, Rashi learns, and there's of course no question on Rav Chista, because then it's a zeh sakosiv over there. On the other hand, Tosfos says the fact is that once you have the miut of zeh when it comes to matnas kahuna, zeh l'chayim v'keva, maybe indeed we should apply it to matnas aniyim as well, because logically it should be the same kind of thing. So what do you mean then that he has to pay, which implies that they can actually take him to Beis Din? So Rav Chista said, because we're not talking about that he's actually, strictly speaking, required to pay. It means midas chassidus, the proper way for him to act as a chassid would be to pay back for the fact that he ate these matnas aniyim when he's rich and he actually could have afforded food and he just ran out of it. Omar Rava, but Rava says, now Rashi, now Tosfos points out, there was a Gyusa Omar Le Rava, which means that Rava says to him. What it is that Tosfos explains, Rava heard in the Mesmerish that they had asked for Kasha and they had given Rav Chista's answer, and he's telling them it's impossible to say that that's what Rav Chista said. It doesn't make sense logically. Omar Rava, Tana Tani Yishalim, the Tana teaches and says he should pay, implying that he has to pay. V'at amet Midas Chassidus, Shadow Khan, you're telling us that Rav Chista says that it's only Midas Chassidus. V'oid, and anyway, what's the question in the first place? Midir Abliyazul Leikum V'leisu, why are you even asking the question from Rabbi Eliezer? The Chachamim disagree with him, evidently, and the Chum hold, in fact, in that mission, they say, Oni Hoya Ba'isa Shah, he really was considered poor at that time, and therefore he was, in fact, entitled to Matnas Aniyim. It is the equivalent of literally that he was poor and then the next week won the lottery, where there's no question he doesn't have to pay back the Matnas Aniyim that he ate at the time. So, and when you have Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, the Halacha is like the Chachamim, so what kind of a question would it be in the first place, why even would Rav Chista have brought up the question in the first place? So Robert says, evidently the whole discussion has been misquoted. Rather, Rava explains the question must have been Nisefa. The question must have been not from the ratio of that Mishnah, the case where a rich person was traveling and ran out of money, and now where he takes Matnas Aniyim temporarily, but rather the question must have been from the Sefer of our Mishnah, namely from the opinion of the Chachamim, where the Chachamim say that he was poor at that time, and therefore he doesn't have to reimburse the Aniyim for the Matnas Aniyim. Now, so Rava says, now you can say then that Taima De'oni, so that Taima De'oni, only because the Chum was saying he's potter because he was considered poor at that time. Paul Osher, but if he had been a rich person and he had illegally taken Matnas Aniyim, Mishalim, then it would imply that he has to pay. Well, now you can ask the question, but am I? Now, why should he be chayav to pay? Lehevi k'mazik matnas kohona shachon. Shouldn't it be the equivalent of damaging or eating the matnas kohona, which we said at the top of the Amud, where that's driving this whole discussion, that Rav Chista said he's potter from paying, because one reason is mamon she'en le'tovim. And again, as Tosfos says, even if you say because it's specific possible by the matnas kohona, nevertheless, you could still learn from it to the matnas aniyim, because the same principle applies. So now you can say that Omer of Chista Midas Chassidus Shanokan. Now you can answer that of Chista said when it says that he has to pay is only Midas Chassidus. You're right, Mi'ikir Adyen. He wouldn't be obligated to pay based on of Chista's principle that Momen Shein Leitogen. So, but now we're saying that nevertheless Midas Chassidus is that he should pay. So now, in other words, the Ritzvah explains before we said that Yishalim, and we said how could Yishalim mean that he has to pay? Now we're saying over here, the Mishnah over here doesn't say, the Mishnah doesn't actually say that if he was rich when he took the matnas aniyim, he has to pay. We're only being medayik it, and then we can say it means, in other words, that still midas chasidus is he should pay. So the Ramban explains, in other words, that basically it comes out Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing two things. Number one, if he temporarily has to take Matnas Aniyim, then does he have to pay back afterwards? According to the Chachamim, he can take them permanently, and he's not even required Midas Chassidus to pay. And second of all, because he was poor at that time. And second of all, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if he is chayev to pay poor people, then he has to pay the first poor person who shows up and sues him, as opposed to the Chachamim, you're never going to force him to, because it's momen she'en le'tovim, and the maximum we can say is midas chasidus. Fine, so no proof. So therefore, now you can say it's not that he's required to pay as an actual din, but rather midas chasidus shanu kan, so it's still not a contradiction on Rav Chista's statement. The Gemara says, let's try another one. Toshma, minayin the balabayis sha'ocha peiros of tevolin. How do we know that if a balabayis ate produce that was tevel, he didn't take off truma and maaser, v'chein levi sha'ocha maaseros of tevolin, or if a levi ate his maaser rishon still as tevel, he didn't take out truma's maaser from it. So now he's chayav misa b'dei shemayim, but minayin shepotim in a tashlumin. How do we know that he's potter from paying the koyanim? Tamad lomer v'leish chalu was kodshim b'nei Yisrael. Asher yorimu. The pasuk says they should not desecrate the kodshim of the Jewish people that they will lift up. This is where we learn from the concept of not eating tevel, because in other words, they will lift up, they will designate the truma and maaser, implying that they haven't done it yet. But nevertheless, the fact is, it's only called Lashem. We learn from that. It's only called Asher Yorimu, that they will lift off. So Hashem, we learn from that. Ein lecha behen el mashas harama ve'elach. They're called Kodshei B'nei Yisrael. They're called Truma. They're the property of the Kohen, only from when they're lifted up, only from when they're designated, only from when they're designated as Truma. So the fact that it says Yorimu Lashem implies that that it belongs to Hashem only after harama, only after it's lifted up. Tosfos points out another reason is also because the pasuk then goes to talk about a case where Zor eats truma b'shoyvig and has to pay Karen Lefemesh for it, which is clearly talking about after the truma was designated. Anyway, so that's the Braisa. So now the Gemara says, Ha Meshas Harama Ve'elach. So now the implication is if he does eat it after it was designated as truma, Mia Meshalim, then he would have to pay. Now again, Amai, why should he have to pay? Lehevi Kemazik Matnas Kohona Yofon. Shouldn't it be the equivalent of damaging or eating a Matnas Kohona? And therefore he should be, potter from paying, because again, whether you say you learn it from the, whether you learn it from the word zeh, so then in that case it's one of the matnas kahuna, and the zeh would apply to it as well, or because mamon she'en lo tovim, and that applies over here also, because there's no particular koyin that you could say, that you could say this truma belongs to. Now, you do have, the Torah does tell us if a person eats truma b'shoyin, that he has to pay karen b'chomesh, that's a special case. That's not, he's not really paying the koyin as a matter of gezel, there it's just a matter of kapara, and it applies only to shoyin. Here we're talking about b'mezin. So again, the Chassam Sofer also adds, you know, if it already came to the Koyan, if it was already given to the Koyan, and then a person ate it, sure, he's Mazik Momen of the Koyan, and now it is Momen Shiyesh LaTovim, because it belongs to this particular Koyan, of course he would have to pay. But here again, we're talking about the person ate it when it was still in his possession before he gave it to the Koyan. Well, there's no particular Koyan who gets this Truma more than any other, or Truma Smaiser more than any other. So what do you mean? He's Chayav to pay. And the answer is Chochanami. The answer is here also. We can give the same answer. It means the osu, the yadu b'tiv layu. It means, like we gave the answer before, that the animal, where the koyan got a hold of this would-be truma, of this yet-to-be truma, or truma smaiser, when it's still tevel. Again, for example, that you deposited it for him by safekeeping, for safekeeping. And again, the kasava haitana, matona shleihumu, mishuhumu damyan. And again, the tana of this braisa holds that even though the matonis were not designated yet, it's considered as though they were. And therefore, so now they're already in the possession of the Kohen, and therefore now the Kohen can say that it actually does belong to me, and now therefore if the Yisrael wants to take it back, then the Kohen can sue him and base him and prevent him from doing that. Rashi brings a second explanation would be that let's say that he gave him the tevel and told him specifically, you are going to be zoche in the truma in it. Namely, when I take the truma, you will, then that truma will belong to you. And now the Yisrael wants to renege on that. And now the Kohen can sue him in Beis Din and tell him not so. And tell him you can't do that. Tosfos discusses another possibility, another possible scenario that there could have been. But in any case, the point is, so you have no proof from there that when you don't have a case like that, a regular case where a person has tevel and there's no particular koyan who deserves that truma more than any other, that he should be, that now any particular koyan can sue him and base him and force him to give him the truma, not necessarily. You can still say, like Reb Chista said, that it's Momen She'en Le'Tovim. There's no particular claimant of it, and therefore no Koyan has a right to it more than any other. And we also have, again, we have the word Vizeh that we said by the Matronis, by Zuri L'Chayayim V'Keva, which tells us also, therefore, that it's only, that it doesn't belong to any particular Koyan, and therefore, again, that brings us back to the Chista Zin, that if he was Mazik them, or if he ate them, then he's Potter from pain. So we'll continue tomorrow. Bas Hashem, the Gemara is going to continue with more attempted proofs in favor or against Rechista, and then we'll talk about more about this matter of Matnas Kohuna and Matnas Anim.